who are you?
Once you answer that question, it determines what you feed on. We always win. We have already won. We are appropriating our victory. And that's what I'm asking. Who are you? Are you a survivor or a savior? We have entered the age of the governing church. A church that feeds on the diet of saviors. Our native weapon is prayer. I'm dead with fasting. When your post is too small, the scriptural accredited response is a fight.
To go in and look into the devil's face. Where I come from, we don't compromise. Now, you are not going there with nice Christianity. No, nice is not enough. You are going there with a full understanding of the power systems of the kingdom. You know how to engage the fires of heaven. You know how to go between the cherubims and get the coals of fire and spread them across the sphere. That was what God told. Is it Ezekiel? He said, take the fire from between the cherubims and scatter it over the city. Aya, lepa. That's priesthood. We are going to get there. God is looking for men and women that will rise in politics, in fashion, in art and entertainment, in the civil service, different sectors that know how to go in between the cherubims and take the coals of fire and scatter them across the sphere. And they are rising. They are rising. Something about yielding to the makings of the Spirit. You don't know when you are done until one day, on a certain day, Masikabaya. On a certain day, your prayer and fasting will pay off. On a certain day, your consecration to this ministry will pay off. On a certain day, your engagement of these spiritual laws, your yielding to be built, to be made, to be developed, will show up. No, that's what happens, though. That's what happens. You just see that the sword has clipped to your hand. And you are bringing down Lakopa, the giant. You are bringing down the army of 800 as one man. You are smiting the Midianite as one man. Gideon did not know. The angel looked at him and said, go in this, your might. When you look at the things he said that day, it shows you that the man had been contemplating. He had been contemplating. But that day was different. Are you here? So keep yielding. Keep yielding. On a certain day, you will see the certainty of this covenant. You will see the certainty of this power. You arrive. You will speak, it's the same you, but the response will be different. You will talk, it's the same you, but the body language of the sector and the city towards you will be different. The same you. Why? The Bible says God will put the man Galatians 4. He said, you put that child under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. There's the time appointed of the Father. When that time comes, you arrive, your voicing is different. So keep yielding. I'm glad about what is happening to you. I'm truly excited. I'm excited. For some of you, things have been birthed. Things have been cooked. Things have been activated in your inner man. You are being called forth. I mean, check out the prayer session. Literal anointing and release of God's grace. So keep on. You keep praying like that. One day you look at the blind eye and say, Ephata, be open. It will open. So you look at deaf ears and say, Ephata, be open. It will open. You see a crippled person. You take them up. Something will come upon you like Samson. Sit down. Can we talk a little? No, that's what happens. So one day, you will see a project of $2 million. And then, suddenly, your heart tells you, you can do it. No more heart failing you for fear. Keep yielding. It happens suddenly. You see $2 million. Say, we can do it now. And even you look at us in the mirror, you say, Emmy, is it me talking like this? Why, things have changed. Are you here? You wake up one day and say, I will be the governor of this state. And no devil will stop it. So all the godfathers and godmothers will advise themselves that this one is the one. Are you here? This is how God works. This is how God works. This is how God works. But see, the problem believers have is that yielding. That's staying power. Listen, it doesn't take God 2 days to bring the manifestation to bear. It's just a certain day. It's just a certain day. But see, it takes God time to get you ready for that certain day. And the more you dodge the preparation, the farther the certain day goes. How many of you understand that English? So, every opportunity to yield to the forgings of the Spirit is an opportunity you must grab with everything you have. Praise God. Of course, the outcome, the hall is almost full, but I'm not impressed. Tomorrow, bring your father, your mother, your auntie, your sister, your daughter, your son, your cousin. Bring them here, 8 a.m. in the morning. Are you here? And come hungry. Come hungry. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Priesthood and dominion. Part 2 now. Amen. And by the way, media, I want those messages, the part 1 broken into A, B, and C for like 45, 50 minutes. So, design album art for them. So, okay. And let them be ready to go online by Monday. Is that okay? So, for us to share is something every believer should hear. What do you think? All right. Priesthood and dominion, part 2. We started talking about the first side of priesthood. Hallelujah. We say that the back end of kingly authority on the earth is priesthood. And by priesthood we mean understanding how to respond to the elite call of priesthood. Okay? Understanding how to respond to God's institution of the anointed. Are you still here? Very important. And the accredited response is honor. It's honor. Honor has different expression. When Abraham met Melchizedek, what was his expression of honor? He gave him the tithe of all. Praise God. He gave him the tithe of all. When Moses met the prince of Midian, Jethro, what was his expression of honor? Obeisance. Are you here? And the list goes on and on and on and on. All through scriptures, we see that response of honor. So when Jesus met John the Baptist and said, I've come to be baptized, he said, I'm not ready to baptize you. You baptize me. Said, sir, suffer it to be so now. That means he deliberately came under the ministry of John the Baptist. He didn't do it hiding. He did it when everybody was present. So that's the right response there to this elite call for priesthood. Honor. And once you understand this response, you receive territories because it is priesthood that hands over territories. Never forget that as long as you live. Any believer who does not have an institution of the anointing, or what you call the elite call of priesthood. You should understand what that means already. The elite call of ministry, speaking words over his or her life cannot amount to much. Interestingly, before I got into teaching about priesthood, I showed you from 1 Timothy chapter 4, 13, 14, and 15. Paul says, before I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. He now added, he said, don't neglect the gift of God that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Did you get that? So he started by taking personal responsibility, doing the things you can do. But he said to get to 15, which is your profiting, appearing to all, you must not neglect the gift. You can't give yourself a gift. It has to be given to you by someone else. And he tells us the category of people who gives the gift and how the gift is given. He said, this gift came through prophecy. I mean, prophecy. Prophecy means speaking forth the word of God with power. So as we were prophesying, we were distributing gifts. What is the hope for the spiritually uneducated? They don't have hope. I mean, people speak against these things. How do you think their lives will turn out? They are not aware that gifts are distributed through prophecy. Through speakings. So under the anointing, we spoke. You foolishly said, amen. And something entered into you. The natural man cannot understand that. No wonder the Bible says, the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. Why? They are spiritually deciphered. They are spiritually discerned. They are spiritually understood. You see why we cry all the time that nobody in church should be a profane person. Why do we cry? Because number one, there are a lot of people in church who are profane. Profane people are people who don't have regard for spiritual things. And number two, the danger of profanity. Anyone who is profane is definitely going to lose his birthright. Spiritual birthright is a law. You see, this gift was given to you by the laying on of my hands, by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. That's the elders. The elders. The overseers. Those with the authority to oversee the church. Those who laid hands on him and released him into that ministry. Interestingly, he was talking to a pastor. Timothy was a pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, I stretched my... You saw what happened in the first session. No man can do that. Those strong impartations of the Spirit with miracles and healings. So, I stretched my hands. I say, in the name of Jesus, let there be distributions of the Holy Ghost. Let there be miracles. And then you see the distributions of the Holy Ghost. That means through the prophecy, spiritual materiality was transferred, was transported. Nobody goes anywhere without that prophetic assistance. And this is the dimension of priesthood we're talking about. Understanding and discerning how to respond to God's institution of the anointed. Because now you know that it is priesthood, the hands over inheritances, the hands over territories to people. Those who feel that they are very smart, they have read all the courses, they got all the degrees they need to get from London Business School, and think in their mind, now those things are important. But see, when they begin to think in their mind, I mean, I've got all I need. I don't need this gift, which comes through prophecy and the laying on of hands. I don't need this activation by priesthood. They get stranded with time. Forget that they look like they are shining. Nobody can last. No. Because listen, there are realms of success you can never enter without being assisted by spirits. And what opens those portals of assistance is what we call prophetic assistance. that the man anointed by God will speak, and then spirit will start assisting you. Kai. No, did you hear what I said? That someone will speak over you, then spirits will start assisting you. Mashiga labakasaya. Someone will pray for you. It has happened to me. Someone will pray for you. Go into a certain place. Suddenly, somebody can now walk up to you and give you 1 million, 1.5 million. And you think it's normal. Is that person a normal person? So he says, after you have studied, after you have listened to messages, after you have paid attention to doctrine, get a prophetic assistant. Partner with God's priesthood system and take your inheritance. Partner with God's priesthood system and take possession of your territory. If it's maintenance life you want, it's not a problem. There are many of them. You are just part of statistics. There's how many people are in just 1.5 million? You are just part of the 1.5 million. Is that how you want to live? How many people are in Nigeria? 200 million. I say there are 200 million Nigerians. You know, a woman once said, she was so blessed. She's in Africa. She was so blessed by Hillsong. Okay, you know Hillsong in Australia. So they asked her, that was probably the first time she was hearing about Australia. Apart from hearing that Australia had kangaroos. Amen. So she said, there are only two things I know about Australia. Kangaroos and Hillsong. That means when they say the population of Australia is 100 million, I can't remember what it is. Somebody has stood out. Hillsong has stood out. Amen. Brian Houston has stood out. This pulpit, he has the patent. This Proxim pulpit, industry standard for preachers. Amen. He's imported. The man has the patent. It was designed in Hillsong, and they patented it. And then is a blessing to churches all over the world. Like somebody posted, it has become a pulpit that means us show that they are doing something serious. It's where you want to do something serious. You carry some serious money and go and buy pulpits. Praise God. That's just by the way. But you see, he decided not to be part of the faces of the 100 million. Not just statistics. You have to decide, will I just be part of the statistics of Nigeria, or I will stand out in my industry? I will stand out in the mountain that God has given me. Will I just be a phase, or I'm going to take my inheritance and take my territory? Praise God. Hope you are aware that the reason for living is kingly dominion. The reason for living is inheriting that city that we talked about in the morning. That's the reason for living. It's not putting body and soul together. It's not to marry a nice woman and have nice children, or marry a good man and have children and have small money to intimidate poor folks around you. Amen. Which is a popular thing in Africa. So go during Christmas, they go to the village to show their own new car too. They drive past and say, the mama that say will not arrive. So let's go and show her that God has blessed us. Really? Is that what you think about life? How did you come that low? How did you come that? Can't you think that the days are here when you will load a trailer load of rice every Christmas to bless everybody in that neighborhood? Plus the ones that did witchcraft against you, amen. Give them food. Let food come out of their mouth. Praise God. If you want to impress people, go global. Kai. Maybe just write it somewhere. Not local impression. Impress. You want to impress people, go global. Go global. If you really want to impress people, go global. Go global. Like we used to say that if we Google your name, what would we find? Your Facebook account? Kai.
Yeah.
That's physically. When we Google your name in the spirit, will you be known among the immortals? Will you be known in the realm of the spirit by spirits? Sky. By spirits. You know the demons. Certain demons were about to be cast out by the sons of Sceva. They're googled. They're googled. They search. They just scan in the spirit. Are you here? They looked. We have searched. We can't find your name on spiritual search engine. Jesus, we have seen. Paul, we have seen. Who are you? We can't see it on the search engine. Who are you? What impression are you making in your syndrome? Are you known by immortal spirit? Are they aware of your impact? Both angels and demons alike. Are they aware? I'm challenging you this night. Enough of survival living. Choose your camp now. You know why people want, they just have two cars and small money in their account. They cool down with Christianity because the pictures in their hearts were too small. And that's what I'm challenging. That's what I'm expanding. Once the picture is expanded, your pursuit will not end. Your pursuit will not end. But when the picture is small, there's no motivation. There won't be drive. This is why a pastor in this city can have 200 members for 10 years. If he has more money to send his children to Hillcrest and have two cars and can go abroad once in a while, he has arrived. He doesn't care about the harvest in the city. He doesn't care about revival. He doesn't care about an emerging generation that need to be harvested. It's not on his mind. Vision. Why? The pictures that were in the mind from the beginning were too small. Were too small. We're too small. And sometimes the background affects the pictures. When you're coming from a place of lack and poverty, certain things will begin to impress you. You get impressed. But see, you can recalibrate your mind. Not to be too impressed by material increase. No. The Bible talks about true riches. It says, if you are not faithful with the mammon of unrighteousness, who will commit to your hand the true riches? That means beyond mammon, there's true riches. Yes, that's the question you should ask yourself. What is true riches? Because Jesus is saying, when you are faithful with mammon, God can now commit to you true riches. That means the outward things are good. He expects you to be faithful in them, but they are not the true riches. They are not the true riches. That's St. Luke's Gospel chapter 16. They are not the true riches. He said, natural things are a test to show if you qualify to handle the two riches. That's what he's saying. There are two riches. The Bible wrote of certain men of whom the world is not worthy. That is two riches. That is two riches. How could Paul say? You know, I was thinking about today and tears came on. How could Paul say? He says, I am crucified to the world and the world is crucified to me. That means as far as I'm concerned, the world doesn't exist. And as far as the world is concerned, I don't exist. So we are mutually exclusive. Who talks like that? That's a man who has seen God's glory. A man who has been caught up to paradise. Paradise. A man whose mind has been shifted and realigned with the purposes of heaven. His vision is different. His pursuit is different. He pursued God until he forgot to marry. Amen. He said, I wish you were all like me. Just that for some of us, it is given to us. That's what he concluded. He said, I'm ready not only to suffer, but to die for this gospel. He said, I'm ready to spend and be spent. That means he's saying, and hope you know God spends men. Aye. We are God's currencies. Write it somewhere. So God spends men. He doesn't spend dollars. He spends men. He doesn't spend pounds. He spends men. We are God's currencies. God spend me. Oh Lord, spend me. Oh Lord, spend me. So multiply me, spend me. I am your currency. Are you here? Now, these stirrings and this challenging of your mind is important so that you can have these priestly things in perspective. We're not talking about pastor praying for you to have a car. No. We are saying priesthood gives you territories. Do you understand? Territories. You have portions in the various mountains of human endeavor. You have portions. Do you understand? If your calling is in education, you have portions. If your calling is in medicine, you have a portion there that is beyond putting body and soul together. That is beyond salary and nice money. That is not territory. That's maintenance. When Melchizedek met Abraham, he said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor. Can you see that? Possessor. That means there's an inheritance. There's a territory. Possessor of the heavens and earth. There's a portion for you in politics, if that is your mountain. There's a portion for you in business, in ICT, if that is your mountain. That portion can only come to you, to the machinery of priesthood. That's what we're saying. No, but you can't get it yourself. You can't get it yourself. I pity people that are not connected anywhere. Kai. Their journey is far. You can notice, it doesn't matter how gifted they are. It doesn't matter how promising they are. If you have observed, you've seen those things happen. It doesn't matter how smart and intelligent they are. Once they dishonor this pathway in the kingdom, they are grounded. You know, see somebody who had potential. 5 years now, nothing has happened. 10 years, nothing has happened. 15 years, nothing has happened. 20 years, this guy had potential. Those you look, have you noticed that a lot of people who were voted the most likely to succeed from your secondary school logbook really did not arrive? And you saw the most unlikely blowing. Why? Life does not follow those natural trends. No. This physical world is controlled by spiritual ordinances. If you understand how to use them to regulate the earth, no man can judge you in the flesh. No man. No man can judge you in the flesh. No man. No man. So nobody is going anywhere who doesn't understand how to respond appropriately to God's system of priesthood. How to respond appropriately and consistently. Yeah. How can you live for 1 year and no money has left your hand into a hand of a priest? How? No, how? How did you arrive there? How did you do it? You lack spiritual intelligence. It's a lack of it. I mean, you live through a year or 6 months. There's no connection between you and the anointed with substance. This is not offering in church. Shabalaka Pataya. Your village people are very strong. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Are you listening to me? It should not be. And you see, the more intentional you are, the wiser you are. That means your wisdom is revealed by your intentionality. Taking advantage of God's priestly system. Taking advantage of God's priestly system. Very important. I've told you people before now. Once, as a student, I've loaned money to sow seed. You must not be heard. They gave me money to buy a laptop. Yes. Maybe some of you were in secondary school or primary school self. It's long, as in very long time. The first money I got for a laptop was 2005. That's 16 years ago, right? Yeah. Let me not even go there. Learn that honor response system. Are we together? Honor with substance, honor with words, honor with actions, honor with the disposition of the heart. If Moses did not understand that, there's no way he would have done obeisance for Jethro. It's not possible. Do you know the signs that Moses had seen? Are you aware? He was a god to Pharaoh. He was a god. Because Pharaoh too was a god. So God had to bring a god to jam with a god. Do you understand? You didn't get that. That was why God told Moses. He said, Moses, I have made you a god unto Pharaoh, and Aaron, your brother, will be your prophet. So he was a god. Aaron was his mouthpiece. Because Pharaoh was a god. But watch this. When he met Jethro, the priest of Midian, he made obeisance. He wasn't a physical show. It was the condition of his heart. That's where I'm going. It was the condition of his heart. Are you blessed? It was the condition of his heart. You hear me? How many of you saw that story of Archbishop Idauza and Aliko Dangote that circulated some years ago? You know it's true. What part of the reason you should believe is true was that Dangote did not come to refute it. Did you see him do a video to say it's not true? I mean, he's the richest man in Africa. That is an indictment on him if it's not true. Do you understand? Yeah. He's not a Christian. So you are trying to connect him to another faith. But it was true. It was true. Kai. It was true. Truly, priests hand over inheritance to people. That's what I can say. If you didn't see the video then, you can go and check it again. The interesting thing is what they carry is not for them. It's for the people they are sent to. They are just custodians of this blessing. And by the anointing, they are authorized to activate it in people and bring people into the fullness of their kingly authority. Of their kingly authority. This is why you see some people who are not even so smart spiritually. But once they understand this simple one, and it works for them. And there's nothing you can do about it. You see this guy, he's a bad man, he's stingy, he's this. You're wasting your time. They will keep going. Why? They have known, they have learned how to connect their lives to living altars. The interesting thing is the guys in the kingdom of darkness understand this. They understand it very well. Have you noticed? They understand it very well. It's an integral part of their practices. Integral. Integral. He's a Christian that chops everything, talks against everybody, insults, and do all kinds of foolish stuff. He thinks he has direct access to God. Yes? Has anybody criticized a babalawo to you before? Do they insult them on Facebook? No, just insult this Baba self, the Baba on this road. He's a foolish man. He's collecting our money. Have you seen it before? No. Have you seen them insult Imam before? The stupidity of carnal Christians. Urbanization. The killing of power. Wokeness. The killing of power. Now that they flee to Dubai, they have a few thousand dollars in their accounts. They were in UK for NGO job. Oh God. Then I can speak English. You know, if you don't understand what they are saying, this is the part you are insulting a prophet who is talking. When prophet talk, you keep quiet. You are trying, You are trying to interpret what the prophet says to the eyes of the books they taught you in school. Are you not foolish? Are you not foolish? You are, no, hold on. You are trying to judge a prophet with a track record. A man who has lived before us this many years. Who is speaking for God. You are trying to say, no, it's not like that. Look at what he said. Can't you even see? I mean, use your brain. Understand the situation. No, really. If it's even wrong, deal with it in your heart. You are going public to try to explain. Haven't you read your Bible? That a prophet Elisha gave a prophecy. He says, by this time tomorrow, a measure of flour shall be sold for one shekel. Yes. 4 measures of barley for 1 shekel at the gate of Samaria. The man who went to school came and said, Abba, prophet. Let's use the economic indices. Even though God, foolish man, even though God opens the windows of heaven, he says, shall not be. Ah, wrong man. I told you, anointing thing, sensitive. He said, oh, you will see it. You will not partake. There was no time for conversation. You know, he did have conversation with him. He said, you will see it. He said, you will see it. But you know, Patrick, you read it in the Bible now. You will see it. But you know, Patrick. And then the next day, according to the word of Elisha. Oh, God. A measure of barley was sold for a shekel. 4 measures. How it happened, leave it to God. Your job is to believe prophetic. To receive this prophetic assistance, you must learn to suspend your human reasoning and judge through the ability of the Spirit. What can God do? That's the question you should ask. He said, by this time tomorrow, things have happened in this world. So you can't read your Bible and not believe in the supernatural. By this time tomorrow, Elisha, the man of God. So you notice in the Bible, it's not everybody that is called the man of God. It's not everybody. They call him Elisha, the man of God. On one occasion, the king was scared that they sent to him a general from Syria with leprosy. You know, the king of Syria is a wicked man. You say, heal him of his leprosy. I heard there is healing in Israel. The king of Israel began to cry. He said, look at this man. He's looking for my trouble. Am I God that I should heal him? He's a carnal man. That's why. The Bible says, Elisha heard it and was angry. He said, why is he crying? Send him to me. I will recover him of his leprosy and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. Kai. He didn't say he will know that there is a God in Israel. He will know. I mean, in my stature as a prophet, I'll get this done. That sounds like Idaosa. He says, God in heaven, Idaosa on earth. This meeting cannot hold. God in heaven, Idaosa on earth. So that's why he's here. Witch meeting in Benin, it cannot hold on TV. So, and by the way, are you a witch? Answer me. Because my Bible says, suffer not a witch to live. I will kill you. Are you a witch? The guy started slaughtering. I mean, started, what do you call it? Stuttering. He said, no, ask, are you a witch? Those days of boldness of faith and the supernatural are here again. I told you I had a vision last year. I've been mentioning. I had a vision. I saw Archbishop Benson Idaosa in the vision. He came and met me. I said, ah, God, I thought Papa Idaosa is dead. Why is he here? And he touched me. He said, you are one of the last keepers of the wind. And he left. I knew exactly what he meant. I woke up from the sleep. Listen, the days of such apostolic boldness are here again. Priesthood. So let's jump to the second path. Priestly practices. Priestly practices. Before then, let's settle some terms. Altars, sacrifices, oath of promise. You already know what altars are. Altars are covenant-driven locations that facilitate the transportation or traffic of realities between the realm of the spirit and the physical realm. Those are what altars are. Did you get that? Covenant-driven locations that serve as transportation systems that connect the realm of the spirit with the physical realm. So altars are like the point of amalgamation of two realms. So there's a physical side to it and there's a spiritual side to it. Those are altars. Altars are a reality even in the New Testament. It's so serious that even in Revelation, which is New Testament, it has not even happened. Altars were mentioned. Do you understand? So, you cannot talk about priesthood without altars. For us, our heart is the primary altar. Of course, there are still hallowed altars like this. Okay? We have hallowed altars like this. We have heart altars. We have heavenly altars, right? But the Bible talks about heavenly altars. So, three kinds of altars. Heart altars, which is the primary one. Your heart is an altar. And on the altar of that heart, you burn incense. You offer our sacrifices. When we say your heart, that means your life is an altar. So, the priestly, remember we read that we are priests who are king. For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. TPT says we are priests who are kings. You remember? That means every believer has a priestly ministry. Every believer is a priest. But we separated the other priesthood. We call it elite call of priesthood. Don't forget that. The anointed. But you see, every believer has a priestly ministry. And every believer can carry out priestly practices. It's a reality. It's a reality. And the first thing to know is that the altar of your heart or your life is the primary altar. It is from there that you offer up sacrifices unto the Lord. Tomorrow I'll get more into that. You see, there are no priests without sacrifices. There are no priests without altars. There are no priests without an oath of promise. You must understand that. So this is why you must keep your heart attuned to God. Which is, I told you that your heart is your primary altar. What goes on in your heart is very important. This is why you must mount guard over your heart, because it's an altar. It's a holy altar. You pay attention. You don't just let every kind of junk come in. It's an altar. It's an altar. And you see, if everything you offer to God first lands on the altar of your heart. Amen. Now, if that altar is polluted, it cannot ascend into the heavens. Have it together. Very important. The practices are in clusters. Praise, worship, rejoicing, then intercession and supplication, then communion tables, giving. Under that, we have tithing, sacrificial offerings, and all that. Okay? Those are the four clusters that I mentioned to you, having different components during our teaching in February. Okay? So, priestly practices, we have praise, worship, rejoicing, supplication, intercession, the communion table, giving, under that you have tithing, and the release of the blessing and all that. Amen. Yeah. But see, all these things, you offer them on your heart altar. That means when you come to give tithe, where God takes the tithe from is the altar of your heart. When you are offering praise and thanksgiving, you have to ensure that your heart is involved. This is the precision of our priesthood. Without that, Did you ever read of polluted sacrifices, polluted offerings in the Bible? Oh, yes, it happens. Have it together. In giving, you must give rejoicing. With your hearts, willing and cheerful. He said, for God loves a cheerful giver. You must give out of revelation. When you are praising, something must be on your mind. The picture of the victory of Jesus. Because I told you that praising and rejoicing is an overflow of a persuasion of the heart about what Jesus has done, about what the Lord has done. Are we together? We're talking about priestly practices for a believer. Anywhere you see profuse priestly practices, there is power. I told you that Satan does not have power problem. Why? His keda of his angelic keda was priesthood. How many of you remember that? Kai. He was a cherub. His keda of angelic operation was priesthood. And that's why till now he doesn't have power problem. His problem is authority. Because you see, the power is in priesthood. The authority is in kingship. Did you get that? God didn't take the power away from him. He was the priestly cherub. So he understands the dynamics of priesthood. That's why till now you can still see it in the occult. Okay, you can see it in traditional worship and all that. All the things he sponsors, there is a firm understanding of priesthood with strict practices. It's Christians that joke with their own priesthood. Those ones, they don't joke. Christians still argue that some people still do full-time ministry, but in the village, they are full-time priests. You can see the confusion. The Babalawo does not work in the bank. He sits in the shrine. You say we should not do full-time ministry. You lack understanding. So it's to show you, I'm trying to unveil to you that truly Satan was in the cadre of priestly angels. So even when he fell, there were remnants of the revelation of priesthood. And the power is in priesthood. The authority is in kingship. So any believer who does not understand priesthood is going nowhere. That things happen by chance is not enough. Having power for sustenance, for sustainability, will come from priestly practices. They understand that. You don't know that they are full-time priests in the villages and in different, even in this town. Some Gomas are in full-time ministry. Do you understand some Gomas? Who knows what some Gomas are? Southern Africa, amen. Witch doctors, full-time ministry. So a Christian sits on Twitter, he's feeling all these pastors have go and get job. This 21st century. Why should somebody be a full-time pastor looking at tithe and offering? Stupid. There's explosion of stupidity currently as we talk. Is stupidity unhinged, untamed? And data is cheap, so anybody just carries and start talking nonsense. Priesthood, read your Bible very well. I don't know if I mentioned it. All the scriptures, no nation, all those kingdoms, they don't joke with priesthood. Okay, I believe I mentioned it. When Joseph was selling, people were selling their properties for food in Egypt. Pharaoh told him, he said, don't give the priest food for free. Don't touch their land. That's Pharaoh. He's there in Genesis 45. He said, don't touch their land. He bought the land of the people except that which belonged to the priest. Go and read it. Why? Any spiritual territory understands the power and the weight of priesthood. You don't joke with it. Oh, Chael Osborne says, preachers are a blessing to any nation. I'll never forget that statement. Are you here? So priestly practices, understand altars, understand sacrifices. And then we've gone through the things. What we're saying is, prayer and supplication is a sacrifice. That means very convenience as far as that priestly practice is concerned. Somebody say, oh, Pastor, I don't feel like praying. Then you don't understand priesthood. This is what you are saying. Priests offer sacrifices. We are saying supplication and intercession is a sacrifice as a priestly practice. You understand? There are no priests without altars and sacrifices. That means the inconvenience that supplication and intercession brings is the sacrifice in the priesthood. Do you understand? So there's no longer complaining. No, it is called sacrifice. Now, don't you understand? You're a priest. You have entered into your priestly office and you are offering sacrifices. So you now know that prayer begins as a decision, continues as a discipline until it becomes a delight. So you no longer be begged to pray. You know, this is part of my sacrifice as a priest. Hebrews says, for every priest must have some worth to offer, must have something to offer. So every time you're engaged in the things we have called priestly practices, sacrifice. Approach them from the standpoint of sacrifice. Do you understand? What have we been doing here? This is priesthood. Sacrifice. Amen. Sacrifice. When we enter into praise and thanksgiving, have you ever read the Bible talk about the sacrifice of praise? Yes. That means you don't wait for convenience to do it. That means you start praising when you don't feel like until you feel like it. It is called sacrifice. Because truly, a time comes where sacrifice becomes obedience. That means you no longer feel the weight of the sacrifice anymore. There's a delight in doing it. So you have the sacrifice of praise. Rejoicing is sacrifice. It's sacrifice. So we know you don't feel like, but we are praising God. That means what we are saying is, go beyond the dictates of your flesh in engaging this priestly practice. That's what we're saying. So when you are in church, we know you don't feel like it, but we are praising. What do? You are a priest as a believer. You carry yourself and begin to praise. You don't stand like or sit like a bum on the log saying, that's how I feel. No, that's why it's called sacrifice. You go beyond convenience. You go beyond the dictates of your feelings. You open your mouth and start speaking in tongues. You open your mouth and start praising. Lift your hands in worship. David says, let my prayer be unto you as incense. Higher. And the lifting up of my hands like the evening sacrifice. So I say, lift your hands toward heaven. We know your hands will pain you. Keep them there. It is called sacrifice. Didn't you read it? He said, let the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. How can Christians not understand simple English? That means it is called sacrifice. Your hands will pain you. Keep them there. Your hands will be heavy. Keep them there. Why? It is the evening sacrifice. You know, David was a man who understood priesthood in the New Testament context, even from the Old Testament. David was a very dangerous man. He didn't have many equals in the Old Testament. He was a very dangerous man. He was the one who said this, you know. He says, let my prayer be unto you as incense. Who says that? Who told him? And the lifting up of my hands. And Paul says, lifting of hands is worship. You can say why it's part of the priestly practices clusters. He said, I wish that men would pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Is in the New Testament. Lifting up holy hands. There's something about the lifting of the hands. There's spiritual significance. That's what he's saying. It's part of that priestly practice. It's not punishment in primary school. They say, lift your hand. No. You know, it's like some Christians, you see it as punishment. It's part of your priestly practice. With your hands lifted. He said, I will that men will pray everywhere. Lift your hands, everyone. Just lift your hands. He says, I will that men will pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands in my Rama. Ah, ah. Imarama, ah, ah. Keep the hands up. Imarama, to the Lamb who sits on the throne. Oh, Imaramae. To the Lamb who sits on the throne. Imaramae. Imarama. Sing it in my. Imarama, Imarama, to the Lamb who sits on the throne. Imarama, Imarama. Imarama, Imarama, to the Lamb who sits on the throne. We lift our hands to you, Lord. Ila da do se mani la da do sa na 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 dim. E ano se mani, e ano sama, e ano se ma, e ano sa mani, e ano sa mani. Yeyano samane, yeyano semano, 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 yeyano semane, yeyano semano. To the Lamb who sits on the throne. To the Lamb who sits on the throne. Ela do semana nana. Ela mano semana gabana no. Ela na mano. Ela no nane. Ela no nano. Ela no sama. Ela magasu na mana no. Ela musu na mana nene. Ela rabana na no. Ela banano semana nano. Imaramae. To the Lamb who sits on the throne. Hallelujah. Father, we love you. We truly, 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 truly do love you. Fenalabano semananani. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, let me show you something in Amos chapter 9 from verse 11. You see, when the Bible teaches about the tabernacle of David, you know we're talking about David, so let me just show you. When the Bible teaches about the tabernacle of David, this is priesthood. His priesthood is talking about, it's talking about priestly practices. Because the tabernacle of David, I'll show you more tomorrow, but I'll just show you this scripture first. You see, the tabernacle of David is basically praise and intercession. That's the house, the tabernacle of David. The emphasis is praise, worship, and intercession. Okay? For the nations. His house shall be called the house of prayers. And all that. So, that is the tabernacle of David. So, every time you hear the expression, the tabernacle of David, the prophetic picture on your mind should be priestly practices. Do you understand? Because that is what it's talking about. And the scripture shows us the power. Actually, that subtitle, I wrote it as priestly practices and power. the things I've been sharing. Now look at this. He says, in that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. That means I will restore again priestly practices. Do you understand? Now, in the New Testament, the ushering in into that priesthood was the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That's the ushering in. That means when Jesus hung on the cross, when he died, was buried, raised from the dead, okay, he became the beginning of the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Because he made the priestly ministry of the believers possible. Amen. So there was a crossing from Aaronic priesthood, okay, to Melchizedek. We're going to read Hebrews 7 very shortly. Okay, so I need to read this. Hi. I promise you, I'll show you more about the tabernacle of David tomorrow. But just read this. There's an effect I want you to see. He said, in that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is solid and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins and I will build it as the days of old. Don't look at a physical building. He's talking about a system, a prophetic system of priesthood. Did you get that now? I told you there was a time in Israel where priesthood was lost. In the days of Moses, in the days of Egypt, when Israel dwelt in Goshen and they became slaves. You see, it was impossible for them to have functional priesthood. Notice the history of Israel. Every time they had functional priesthood, they couldn't be enslaved. No, it wasn't possible. Now, go and read it. But trouble came when they lacked teaching priests, the knowledge of the true God. They always had trouble. And the law. Because, see, those three things there are sandwiched inside priesthood. That means a teaching priest, a functional priesthood will bring the knowledge of God. Amen. And a functional priesthood will institute the law. That means truly the problem is the priesthood. Have it together. That's the problem. And when you look around today, if the body of Christ has any challenge, it's with priesthood. The arguments, how should you pray? Should you pray? Should you not pray? Should you pray in tongues? Should we tithe? You know, tithing is priesthood, though. I've taught you before. Go and get the message. Money matters. That's where all the talk. Should you speak in tongues? Should you not speak in tongues? Priestly practice. All these priests. In fact, there were churches where they banned musical instruments. Priestly practice. Should you speak in tongues? Giving. You can see the attack on giving. Priestly practice. Communion. Priestly practice. Are you seeing it now? But God says, I will restore the tabernacle of David. Put the scripture up for me. Verse 12. That demi masilaka pataya. If I stop here, have I not tried for you? You can see. When he restores the tabernacle of David, what follows? They will possess the remnant of Edom and of all the hidden, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Can you see that? So God says, first though, I will restore the tabernacle of David, which is a prophetic picture of priesthood. He said, once that happens, the people will begin to possess kingly authority. They will begin to possess, which is called by my name, verse 13. The popular one that you know. 13 is the person under the power. And then you can see this. You can see this. When you see speed comes, when priesthood is restored, when you see profuse priestly practices, this is what you see. Give this to me in Message translation. Thank you, Lord. Message translation. Mela sumatela gabasayata. Can you read it for me? One to go. Maya. Everything will be happening all at once. All at once. That means when you see that mighty explosions, when you see, this is the move of God, though. This is what called the move of God. When you see that move of God, where everything is happening at once, the tabernacle of David has been restored. Everything will be happening all at once. Continue. No, read that one for me. Blessings. Ooh, glory to God. You see, everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Everything will be happening all at once. You won't be able to keep up. One thing fast upon the heel of the other, happening so fast your head will swim. God's decree. This is preceded by the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Somebody say, Hillsong Church. The man doesn't know how to preach like that. The church has exploded to the nations. They are just singing. You just miss the point in your talking. That's the problem. The secret is what you trivialize. That singing like joke, that is the restoration of the tabernacle of David. That is priesthood. And anywhere you see that things happen so fast, you can't keep up. Everywhere you turn, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Are you seeing it now? Sir, there's no revelation. There's no wallet. I'm just singing. The church is just growing. The man who teach small. The church is just growing. They're exploiting the nations. You just miss the point. That is in that singing. That singing. That the power is made available. Isn't that singing? So it looks like, it looks feeble, right? For you, the church that should be 200,000 members should be the one where they are doing deliverance every day and every night. Is your, is your African construct. Is your African construct. Praise God. Are you blessed? Have you been blessed today? Priestly practices. So, remind me tomorrow to still talk a little about the tabernacle of David. Talk a little about tabernacle of David. So let's wrap up. I said altar sacrifices and the oath of promise. Give me Hebrews 7 now. We'll just clip today at that place. Oh boy, what a day. How many of you sense that fire of protracted prayer in the world? You feel it in you. You feel it in you. All right. I said Hebrews chapter 7, verse 20. Thank you, Lord. 20 to 22. The concept of the oath of promise. The power of our priesthood is the oath of promise. That is the word of the Lord revealed to you concerning the matter. Now, we said every priest must have altar. Every priest must have sacrifices. And every priest must have an oath of promise. We've talked about altars and sacrifices. You see, must have an oath of promise. Look at this. He says, and inasmuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. Did you get that construction? For those priests were made without an oath. No wonder their priesthood was short-lived. There was no oath backing the Aaronic priesthood. That's what he's saying. Remember, he's comparing the order of Melchizedek, which is a volume, the order of Melchizedek with the order of Aaronic priesthood, right? So he says, those priests were made without an oath. He's telling you that the superiority of the priesthood of Melchizedek, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, right? Is that he's a priest with an oath of promise. And see, we can't teach priesthood without talking about this. That means going into the Holy of Holies where rods bud and blossom and bring forth almond. Because it is in that place that results are produced. That's what they say. It's in that place that arguments are ended. But you see, You don't enter into that place without an oath or promise. That's what they say. You say, this one was a priest with an oath. For those priests were made without an oath. But this with an oath by him that said unto him, the Lord swear, and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of better testament. You understand? That means the power of our priesthood is the oath of promise. That means the validity of these priestly practices is the oath of promise, the word of the Lord that has shined in your heart as a personal revelation. The Bible calls it the sure word of prophecy. Do you understand? You didn't get what I said, though. That means when you go to pray, let's take prayer for example. Rabba, rabba, rabba. What are you praying for? Salvation of your son. Lord, save my son. My son is saved in the name of Jesus. You will feel fire, but you are a priest without an oath, as far as that situation is concerned. You will go into prayer. Listen, that means the first thing to do is to get the oath of promise. That means choose scripture. There's something God has said concerning the salvation of your loved one that will resonate in your heart. It could be in Acts when he says, thou shall be saved, you and your household. Do you understand? You take that as an oath of promise, then enter the Holy of Holies. Amen. Because in Hebrews chapter 6, that's what he now says. He said, with this oath is what you have as an anchor of your soul, both sure and steadfast. And then it is with it you enter within the veil. Did you get me? So a priest that will have resolve must be a priest with the oath of promise. So you are not just praying, oh Lord, save my son. Rabba, 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 rabba. No. Your soul needs an anchor. And that anchor is the oath of promise. So there's a word you have seen from scriptures. There's a word you have seen from scriptures. A more sure word of prophecy that you have seen to lay hold on in that dark place until the day dawns, which is the manifestation, and the day star rises in your heart. That means there is an oath, there's a light you must have, and that is the word of promise. That is that sure word of prophecy. Did you get that? He said, with that you enter into the veil, and then you carry out priesthood. You cannot be torn down. Entering within the veil with the oath of promise is not possible. You can't. You can't. Maybe just go to chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 18. Let me show you that. You see that by two immutable things. You know, he was talking about an oath, God swearing. By two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Next verse. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Okay. Both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Did you see that? Into that within the veil. There's verse 20, right? Yes. You see, with that the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So it is with that oath or promise that is an anchor of your soul that you enter into the veil. That's how you produce it all. You will just say, Lord, this church is growing in the name of Jesus. You're a priest without an oath. You're a priest without an oath. I will prosper. Prosperity is my name. In the name of Jesus. Malakaposa. I prosper in the name. That's nice. But see, the strength of your priesthood in that regard is in the oath of promise. What is your personal revelation concerning your prosperity? This is a collection of oath of promise. Yes, sir. Did you get that? I'll marry a good woman. My home is blessed. Where's your oath of promise? Houses and land are the inheritance of a father, but a good wife comes from the Lord. God spoke that to me. I never seen it in the Bible before. One day I stumbled on it. I knew I was settled. That's the oath. That's the oath of promise. Praise God. I'll lay hands on you now. See, and shave all your beards. Praise God. Are you blessed? That's the oath of promise. You will notice that when you enter into prayer with this oath of promise, your voice is strong. Your voice is strong. Why? Your soul has an anchor. Your soul has an anchor. Your soul has an anchor. So the fire of that scripture is burning in your soul as you are praying, as you are praising, as you are worshiping, as you are giving. You are going to give your first fruits. You need an anchor for your soul. Amen. So you understand the implication of tithe and first fruits. You are giving a sacrificial seed. As you are led by the Spirit, you have an anchor for your soul. Amen. You have an anchor for your soul. Now, by Sunday, we're doing capital project pledges, right? How many of you are ready? How many of you are ready? Amen. So, as you make sacrifices for the house of God, your soul needs an anchor. And that is the word of promise, or the oath of promise. Rise to your feet. Sabalakapaya. Oh, Father, we thank you. Can you just speak in tongues? Can we just a few minutes, priestly practice. You will speak in tongues. You will bless the name of the Lord. Ha, there's no communion. Tomorrow, we must break bread. Amen. It's a must, though. We must break bread tomorrow. Amen. We must break bread tomorrow. And if you go home today, break bread personally.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.